Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY, done with you training, and done for you SEO options. So there is truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist and use the code Modern Therapist for a DIY course, or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your consult for special offers.
Are you looking for ways to attract and retain private pay clients? Thryser is a payment platform for therapists built to help clients automatically tap into their out-of-network benefits and save on therapy up front. Check out our special link, join.thryser.com/modern therapist, and use the code Modern Therapists to activate $2,500 in free payments with Thryser.
Hey, Modern Therapists. This episode of the Modern Therapist Survival Guide is going to talk about how to get paid speaking engagements. And you're going to learn all about that in a few moments from Dr. Laura Lewis. And Katie and I are going to give you the first opportunity to put these steps into action. If you want to speak at the Therapy Reimagined 2020 conference, go to therapyreimagined.com, click on conferences, scroll down to become a speaker, and sign up. You'll get all of the information on how to apply to be a speaker at Therapy Reimagined 2020 in September here in the Los Angeles area. We can't wait to see your application.
You're listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide, where therapists live, breathe, and practice as human beings. To support you as a whole person and a therapist, here are your hosts, Kurt Widhelm and Katie Vernoy.
Welcome back, Modern Therapists. This is the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. I'm Kurt Widhelm with Katie Vernoy, and thank you for listening. Wherever you listen to us, we thank you for doing that. And if you wouldn't mind stopping by, leaving us a rating and a review, and if you're not yet a subscriber, subscribe to us. It definitely helps us out. And today we're joined by Dr. Laura Lewis. She is the CEO of Couch to Podium. She's here to talk to us about all the different levels of going out and being a speaker. Not all of us can go out and command $75,000 a speech yet. But we probably also aren't on the other end of just standing on the street corner shouting out things and having people question our mental health. So walking us through all of the different levels of that is Dr. Laura Lewis. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm still like, what are you talking about, Kurt? Well, I'm super excited that you're here, Laura. I am in your Couch to Podium, or I guess it's the Mental Health Speakers on Facebook group. And I love the information that you're sharing there. And I know I am definitely someone who loves speaking and love to hear what you're talking about. And I've seen all the people that you're supporting just rave about the work that you do to help people go from couch to podium. So instead of just keep introducing you, I'm going to ask you, who are you and what are you putting out in the world?
Well, first off, thank you again for having me. I love what you are doing here. For people that are listening that don't know me, I am Dr. Lewis. I'm the founder of the Couch to Podium program, which basically is me teaching people how to go from doing therapy work or being a coach to speaking on stages and getting paid and paid well to do just that. And so nice. I love helping my clients so that they can book paid speaking engagements. I started with just like being a therapist and wanting to scale and grow my business. And it had got to a point where I just literally could not take on another client. And so after that, I just said, okay, well, why don't I look at this thing of speaking? And so it just kind of grew from there. And then once I kind of got it down and now I've done over 200 paid speaking engagements, it really made me want to help other people so it won't be as difficult as it was for me with getting started. Felt like I made a lot of mistakes in the learning and growing process. And so that was really the mission behind starting Couch to Podium. And my Couch to Podium membership is so that I can help other people so it'll be a lot easier in getting booked and paid.
I have to admit that it took me literally until right this second. I'm a runner. I'm familiar with the Couch to 5K program, which is getting off the couch and getting out and running. It literally took me until this moment to put together that Couch to Podium is from the therapist couch to. Congratulations on flying that one right by me.
Yeah, but. Yeah. I think that's just you, Kurt, though. It totally makes sense.
So my laziness being described right there. Can you walk us through kind of what that first obstacle is that is getting from that couch out there? Because I think that there's a lot of people who have maybe that initial sort of imposter syndrome, or am I quite good enough to go talk? So what's kind of that first idea of getting past the couch?
The first thought is, what do you like to do? Like, what do you like to do in therapy? What type of client do you enjoy working with? Like, it's 4 o'clock and it's time for this client to come in. Who is that client that you're excited and you can't wait to see? I think that gives you an idea about the thing that is like your purpose, the thing that is going to be the driving force behind your speaking. And then once you get clear about who you like to work with, then identifying like, well, what exact topic do you like to teach them?
I think that's so important. I think with the things, the clients that I've worked with a lot that I absolutely adore, I'm already picturing, because, and I speak about different things. So this is blowing my mind. Okay. So I have people who I teach almost the same thing over and over and over again. And I've got the kind of the canned joke sometimes, and they usually land well, I'm hoping. And there's those types of things where it's like, oh, that's a talk.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like those areas that like you talk to certain clients about and they laugh and they respond to, like that's when I feel like you have found your audience, you found your people. And then creating like events and pitching to speak around that topic. And then also considering, well, where do those people hang out? Outside of therapy, like what do they like to do? Where do they tend to go? Where do they go for support? And then that being the space where you start to look at, okay, I can pitch these organizations.
I think the hardest part that I see is the pitch, because that, I mean, that speaks to what Kurt was talking about around, okay, now I've got to claim my expertise here. Mm-hmm. I've got to say that I'm worthwhile. And I think initially you may pitch just to speak, to get the visibility, to be in that space, to get the experience. But when you're actually saying, I'm pitching and you need to pay me X amount of money, I think it really gets into that space of like, oh yeah, this is getting really real.
Yes. And I remember when I first started, I was working inside a group practice and I was talking to my supervisor at the time about doing an event. And he was like, oh, they're not going to pay you. Like, people don't pay therapists to speak. And I remember at that point, I was like kind of disappointed, because he was someone that I felt like had a lot of knowledge and I was just getting started. And so if he was saying that this wasn't possible, then I felt like that must be true. But I was talking just to other people, and this, I think, speaks to the fact that you have to make sure that you're surrounded around people who can speak positively and to your dream, who are already doing the things that you want to do. Just the importance of being around, like making sure your inner circle matches the goals that you want to accomplish.
For sure.
And when you're getting started out, getting that kind of foot in the door sort of thing, is it necessary to really do a bunch of these smaller presentations or speeches kind of at that unpaid level in order to build up that credibility to really look attractive to some of the bigger paid speaking engagements?
I think it definitely has some value. I think there is some value to experience. So like when I was in college, I was in graduate school and I did an internship at FIU University. And a part of my experience on internship was I had to do workshops and in different parts of the campus. And so it just got me comfortable with speaking, comfortable with getting in front of audiences. So that once I put a price tag on it, okay, it's going to be $3,000, then it wasn't me like trying to figure out like, can I actually speak? But it was more like, I know how to do this. Like, this is what I do. So I had a different level of confidence having done it already. And so I think that that's the value of having experience, is that it builds up that internal self-confidence. And I still get nervous. I still, every single time I speak, I still get nervous, but it's not at the level as it was like from the very beginning, because I always want it to be good and I want the people and audience to get value. And so that nervousness is still there, but having experience has helped me with at least knowing like, okay, this is what I'm going to talk about and this is how I can flow through it. And also Toastmasters, I did Toastmasters, and Toastmasters has this, have you guys heard of Toastmasters?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So for any of your listeners who haven't, it's basically a space where you speak. You speak and then people give you feedback and they give you feedback immediately. Okay. You said too many ums, you said too many ahs. Like they give you feedback on what you did well. And then they have this thing in Toastmasters called table topics. And so with table topics, you have to be able to speak off the top of your head. Like they'll say, all right, talk about retirement. I don't know anything about retirement, but I have to be able to say something in like a minute. And so things like that really help with getting started so that it helps build a level of self-confidence in doing speaking. And then also for the beginning speaker out there, I recommend that you list build when you're speaking so that it allows for you to be able to continue to support that audience that you've spoken to.
Simplified SEO Consulting's team of mental health professionals genuinely want to help you attract more of your ideal clients with a proven on-page SEO process using the strategies that are most effective for therapist websites. They know SEO is an investment, which is why it is so important to find someone who aligns with your values and understands the importance of building your private practice in a meaningful way. Simplified SEO Consulting hopes to be that team for you and your practice.
The expert team would love to talk with you during a free consultation to figure out the best fit for your SEO journey. Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY, done with you training, and done for you SEO options. So there's truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Be sure to ask if their innovative content network is a good fit for your website. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off a DIY SEO course with code MODERNTHERAPIST or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off your done-for-you SEO program onboarding this spring.
Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern-therapist.
I think that's important. And I just wanted to reiterate that I am so relieved that you still get nervous, because I totally still get nervous too when I speak.
You're not alone.
Yeah. And I think part of it is that kind of the desire to do a good job, and this being such a dynamic, energetic experience to go up in front of an audience and have them. And like, if you have an audience full of introverts, it feels horrible because they're like not emoting and you're like, wait a second, I'm putting it all on the line here. What's going on? And so for me, it's that piece of not knowing what you're going to be facing and being able with that experience to understand like, oh, this was a group of introverts because I had a line a mile long at the end versus all the extroverts got their stuff and they left.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think it does make sense that, you know, that we're still nervous, but I just was like, am I still a rookie? I don't know what I'm doing. And it's like, okay, that makes me feel good. But I like what you had to say about both getting the experience and the list building, because I think those things, a lot of people want to jump past that. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, I want to be a speaker. And they may have great messages, but if they don't actually get the experience, the people who book you for your next speaking engagement are the people that are watching you at the current one. Or the people, yes, that are watching your speaker reel after the fact. And so if you're not delivering, it doesn't matter if you get paid well. If you don't deliver, then you're not going to get another engagement from it. And so mm-hmm. I really like that you're talking about kind of building those chops. And I'm thinking, ooh, maybe I should go do Toastmasters. I've got some things to clean up and that would be good to have that kind of feedback. But to me, I think that there's the skill set. And then there's also the list building. So you stay top of mind. And when some person's like, hey, I actually have something at my work where maybe you could speak. And, you know, mm-hmm. I've been listening, I've been reading your material, I've been watching your videos, you know, whatever that is. So that's such great advice. I like that.
Yeah. And also it helps build up social proof. So when you speak and say, for example, you are speaking for free, and when you get photos and you get video of you speaking, it helps build up credibility so that other people can see, okay, yeah, I can hire you because I know that, you know, what you're talking about is something that my audience can benefit from. So I think definitely having that experience like can help with booking more speaking engagements and building up credibility. And then also back of room sales. So even if you speak for free, say, for example, you haven't filled out your whole client caseload and you're like, okay, well, I have books, I have a course, I have, like, you can have other things outside of that one moment of speaking that could be of value to the people you're speaking to.
You have a couple of points that I want to come back to, and I don't know that they necessarily flow together at the same point, but one's more of just a praise of you bringing up that you don't necessarily have to be licensed in order to start on this path. So I'm always encouraging of people at all points in their career to really be looking at these kinds of things and owning that entrepreneurial spirit of having the back of room sales and that kind of stuff. You also bring up the aspect of social media and with things like Facebook Lives and Instagram Lives and having kind of this readily available kind of audience that's online that can really go into this too, that it doesn't necessarily just have to be photos, but it's something that you can do as part of your digital world as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Like the first major contract that I got, it was a 30-city contract. We did a licensing deal so that, like, anytime someone, I was teaching a group of therapists about how to do couples therapy. And so because we did the licensing deal, every time someone purchased that training that I did, because it was recorded, it was like I would get a residual check. So that was in like 2012, and I'm still getting paid from it now.
I think that's amazing. I think that speaks to really looking at all the different ways that you are using speaking to grow a larger business. And I think to me, a lot of therapists start out with, I'm going to go speak so I can get more clients. And I guess the question I have is really going to, when someone is using speaking to get more therapy clients, are there special considerations in that?
Yes. So you want to make sure that you're speaking to your target market. So last week, I got offered to speak at this youth symposium. Well, speaking at a youth symposium, I have counseled youth before, but that's not really my target market. And so it would be difficult for me to convert that audience into a client that's invested in working with me, since it's like youth and children, and I work primarily with couples. And so definitely consider, is it your target market? Also consider your location, right? Because if you're speaking in London and your practice is in Atlanta, like, you have to just think it through. I have a list of about 10 questions that I encourage all of my students and my Calstraponium membership to ask before saying yes to doing a speaking engagement. And that's one of them, is like, can you do back of room sales? Just kind of the logistics of how to see if it's going to make sense for you given the target market, the location. Those are some variables to definitely consider if that's the goal, to get clients. Which for some people is a goal. I want to get like 5 clients out of it. Well, then you're going to need to ask how many people are going to be in the live audience, because it's kind of a numbers game with conversions, converting someone from listening to you speak to being in a invested relationship with you. It has to be a certain number for that conversion to make sense. So if it's like 5 people, then it's not likely you're going to get 5 new clients.
No.
Right. In a lot of cases, and I imagine especially early on in someone's career, that having the confidence to ask an event organizer these kinds of questions just has to seem really daunting. Because I remembered some of my early presentations that, A, I wouldn't have thought to ask these, and B, it would have felt like it coming across very entitled, as far as like, well, there's only going to be 9 people there. I don't think it's worth it. What kind of advice do you have to help people navigate kind of those conversations?
I think that you definitely raise an important point, and that is, like, you don't want to come across entitled, but you also like to live indoors, right? I like to live indoors with light, and I like electricity, you know, so all that stuff is nice. And so that's what I always consider when I'm trying to decide, is this going to make sense? Is the fact that, you know, we have real life responsibilities, kind of joking, but there are expenses that come, you know, with running a business. And so I dedicate a couple of speaking opportunities every year that I will do for free. And so those are usually faith-based spaces. And so you decide, like, is this something that's on that list of areas that it's just a heart thing that I'm going to do? Or is this something that, you know, it's going to be a stretch. I'm going to have to invest time. I'm going to have to get on a plane. I'm going to have to cover some expenses. And I'm going to have to leave my practice, which means I'm not going to make money that day in my practice. And so those are some things that I consider when I'm going into the sales conversation.
I think the piece that I have trouble with at times, though, is that actual conversation, is being mm-hmm. able to really come from, because I think I'm still at the place where it's like, I would love to speak for you anywhere. Give me a paid speaking engagement. It sounds amazing, right? You know, like it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like when you initially start as a therapist, you're like, I'll take any client if they're paying me money, you know? And so I really like this. I'm joking. So what I definitely have been more selective in what I take and don't take, but I think being able to say no, or to really dig into like what the budget is, or, you know, any of those pieces, I think that there is some nuance to that conversation. How do you mm-hmm. handle it? Like with this symposium for youth and children or whatever, like how did you, I mean, it sounds like that one you just said no to, but if there's mm-hmm. one where it's like maybe right on the edge, and if it's the right price point, you might feel like it's worth your while. Like, how do you navigate that conversation?
It's a delicate conversation. It is a very delicate conversation because I don't want them to feel like uneasy about the questions. And there is a level of excitement that comes with being chosen, right? Like, yeah. And I can remember in getting started, just like you said, like someone says they want me to speak. Yes, thank you so much for thinking of me. Like, I'm just excited yeah. to that someone thought enough of me to have chosen me, right? And so there's that piece. And so I'm having that conversation with them. You know, thank you so much for considering me. Thank you. So I'm having that conversation with them on the onset, but also before I've made the commitment to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm gracious and appreciative that they considered me. And I'm also saying, well, let's see if we can have a conversation to talk to some more about like what your needs are, what the mission is of this event, and also how we can make it a win-win situation, because my fee for this is, and then that's when I say the fee, and then I'm listening to their response. Yeah, that's going to work. Or like, hey, I don't know if we could do it. And it's a negotiation. It's a negotiation because it may be that I don't get 100% of my fee, but I get other things that are of value to me that makes it, you know, make sense. And so that could be like we talked about earlier, the licensing deal, or that could be video of the footage, or that could be it's the right audience. Because when I think about how much it costs to market, it costs money to market, right? Like we pay for ads, Google ads. And so if you can imagine like cutting some of that cost of marketing and speaking directly to your target market, that's another value add. So those are some things that I'm considering when I'm starting to enter into the negotiation conversation.
Thrizer is a payment platform designed for out-of-network therapy. As a therapist, you would use Thrizer to charge clients for sessions and collect your full rate upfront. From the client's perspective, Thrizer links to their health plan, so insurance claims are automatically submitted for them upon every charge. From there, Thrizer manages the claims end-to-end so that your clients don't have to worry about manually submitting super bills or getting on calls with insurance. The best part? Thrizer allows clients to only pay their co-insurance portion for sessions, while Thrizer covers the rest of your fee and waits for reimbursement on their behalf.
They also offer you an instant benefits calculator for free, allowing you to provide upfront transparency to prospective clients on their out-of-network coverage. Therapists only pay a standard 3% credit card processing fee per session with no additional fees. Visit join.thrizer.com/modern therapist to get started and use our promo code Modern Therapists to receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.
I think one of the steps that we missed in this process that I want to kind of jump back to too is, how do we go about finding paid speaking opportunities, because you know, I imagine that there's a certain level of competition with it. That our mm-hmm. Therapy Reimagined conference, we paid most of our speakers this year. Yeah. I think anybody who was giving a full talk ended up getting paid, but I've seen plenty of conferences too where it's just like, we're going to pay you an exposure. So how do you, you know, really look at some of these places that do respect speakers to have kind of these opportunities in the first place, and any advice on really helping you stand out and making sure that your presentations get picked?
Sometimes as therapists, we talk in psycho jargon and other people don't know what the heck we're talking about. We know what cognitive behavioral therapy means. Like, we know what all of these different terms mean, but the organizer may not know what we're talking about if we're using a lot of psychological terms. And so one of the things that I do with my clients is teaching them how to speak in a way that speaks to a person's pain point and also speaks to the solution that you provide. And so for someone, say a couple that I'm doing a relationship workshop and I'm pitching to do a relationship workshop, I may talk about, like, divorce is expensive, right? Like, it's expensive to get a divorce. And not to mention the cost of raising your children in separate homes, and just the emotional battles of having to go through that. What if you could get a workshop that's going to teach you strategies on how you can communicate more effectively so you can stop fussing and fighting, so that you can start to get the strategies that you need to have better intimacy? So you see what I'm saying? I'm talking about the pain points and the struggle, and I'm positioning that with the solution, and I'm not using any psycho jargon.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think it speaks so much to how therapists can oftentimes market poorly as therapists. So it's a lot of the same stuff that we're hearing. Is like, you pitch a talk the same way you would pitch therapy. It's really about, how do you speak to the pain points? How do you speak to the solution? And I think, kind of going, circling back a little bit to what Kurt was asking, it's like, There's also different kinds of engagements, right? There's mm-hmm. there's talking to the mommy group, and then there's also applying to speak at a major academic conference. And mm-hmm. so in choosing, how do you decide what's going to be most beneficial as an individual on where you speak, how you identify your speaking engagements, and kind of making sure that you're the one who's chosen? Because like Kurt was saying, we had like 90 people apply for our conference. So, I mean, there was tons of competition, and it was like Sophie's Choice in there. We were like, oh, this one's so good. I don't know. You know, and so there were certainly things that we saw, like, you know, people who had a video, it was much stronger. People who were very engaging and speaking in their video versus kind of talking casually in a webcam. You know, I think there's things that I'm sure that we could say, like, for us individually, this is kind of how we chose speakers. But it was also something, there were some that weren't lined up, right? There was people who were applying to our conference with their canned talk that didn't go with our themes. And so I think, to me, being able to say, like, how do you choose what you pitch for, and how do you choose how you make that pitch? Because I think there's a lot of people that just are like, oh, well, I need to do speaking engagements. Let me go to the local Kiwanis Club. Mm-hmm. And that may be absolutely ideal for them, and it may be ridiculous for them, right? So it's like, how do you decide what's worthwhile for you?
When I was in graduate school, I applied to internships. The last year of the PhD program as a psychologist is you have to do a one-year internship. And it's super competitive. You have to match. You choose them, and they have to choose you. And I didn't match. And I was devastated. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't get into any internship program. And I was like, okay, so what am I going to do? Because I spent like 9 years of my life to get to this point of finishing between undergrad and master's and PhD. And so then I had to review my application. And when I started to look more deeper at my application versus some of the people who actually got a placement, theirs were much more targeted. And so the next year I had to sit out a year, and I reapplied. And so when I reapplied, my game was totally different. My mindset was totally different. I was researching who the professors were within that internship. I was researching everything about like what they were doing so that I could make sure it was a good match. That's the first part, but then also being able to express that on my application, right? So I'm researching them, I'm looking at the words that I'm sending to them in my cover letter. And then that year I matched with a lot of placements. There were a lot of placements that were directly messaging me, we want you to intern with us. And so what I realized in that process, it was a painful process, it hurt. But what I realized is that you want people that want you, right? Right? Like you want, like when you're putting on your conference, it's a mission behind what you're doing for your conference. And you want to know that the people who are applying to speak, they are about that mission. And if you're seeing that they're just sending you some canned message, it's going to make you feel like, well, they're not, it's not an alignment there. And I think it's the same when you're applying to speak at other places, taking time to do research about their values, their mission statements, previous speakers that they've had, and then positioning what you do in a way that speaks to that.
And I'll say, as one of the Therapy Reimagined conference organizers, that if you're not filling out an application correctly, it's getting thrown in the discard pile very, very quickly. That you do definitely want to hit onto what people are looking for and are really, you know, going thematically with what they're presenting. Now, I know from kind of this larger conference building standpoint of just how much work it goes into creating some of these own speaking events, but in starting out in some of the, you know, your own building events, is all of that extra work really worth it? Because to launch something takes so much time and energy, and plus you're probably crafting what your speech is and you're, you know, focusing on the content of it too, but the event organization aspects of it just add a whole nother level of stuff.
Yeah, it does. I mean, planning events is a lot of work. I plan events. I do my own like workshops, and I did a 5-city tour this year, and it was a lot of work. There were moments when I was questioning, do I really want to do this? And asking myself the exact question that you asked, is this really worth it? Like, I'm a therapist. I could just do my therapy and coast and do well. And I know people are going to call in. Is it worth it? That was the question that I had. I think the benefits of doing your own live events is that you're not looking for someone to hire you. You're creating what you know needs to exist in the world. And so I think that there's a benefit in that. You hold the cards. You create the stage. And I think there's a lot of benefit in creating your own stages. Plus, you can make a lot of money in putting on your own live events. If you master sales and you understand marketing and you master back of room sales, like you can make a lot of money in putting on live events. But if you don't, you can lose a lot of money. And I have lost money in the past where I had this, I didn't know what I didn't know, right? I didn't know how to market. And so, and I lost money, and I said, I'm never putting on a live event again. I'm done with live events, not doing it anymore. And then people kept asking me, and they was like, well, why don't you do another live event? So I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I had to invest in understanding how sales and marketing works. And it was a success, and my event sold out. But it just, I think just being mindful of those things, being mindful of marketing and sales, being mindful of how to put butts in seats, because that's another big part of having a successful event. And then knowing your numbers. You have to know your numbers. How much is it going to cost me? How much am I going to need to spend for space? Can I get sponsors to cover the space or food? Like, just knowing your numbers is crucial.
Yeah. Yeah. We have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just joking. Yeah, we're a work in progress on that as well. I think the thing that for me that I'm hearing is that, you know, getting hired somewhere, you don't have to do all of that stuff, but you really need to make sure it's the right audience. If you do your own event, you have 100% creative control, you know, as long as you can get butts in seats, which is a big if. But if you can get the butts in seats, if you found, you know, if you've found your audience and there's people who want to come and pay you to do the thing, then it can be
much more lucrative than just a speaking fee. And it can also be something where you put out exactly what you want to put out. I think for me, that experience of like putting on an event by myself, like, you know, Kurt is a great partner in crime and I am fine putting on an event with Kurt, but by myself, I'm like, it's too stressful. I just can't do it. Cause it has that piece. Like you have to know your numbers. You have to do all the marketing. It's like, I don't want to market it. I just want to have people show up. And I think we all have different things that we want to do with our speaking. And I think that we could talk about this for days, but I think the thing that I want to ask before we run out of time is, you've talked to a lot of therapists at this point who are wanting to go from couch to podium. You've probably seen a lot of people out there. And so what do you think that most therapists get wrong when they try to do this thing?
One mistake that a lot of therapists make is thinking that it'll just come, like thinking speaking opportunities will come. Like I put it on my website, so check the box, I'm done. And they'll call. That's how I felt when I first started. I was like, okay, so my website. So now they're coming. But the floodgates come open. But it's not that easy. Like you have to have a real strategy for how you are going to present it to the world and let people know that you are available to speak. And I think that's a big mistake that people make, is not marketing at all. Another mistake that I see people make is not investing in themselves, right? Because we all went to graduate school, and graduate school was an investment.
Yes.
I'm still taking care of those student loans, right? Like it's an investment. And it's the same way we invest in our education to become a great psychologist, counselor, social worker. We have to make those same investments into understanding how sales and marketing works. And so if we don't, you can find yourself frustrated. Like, I'm doing this. Why isn't it working? Why aren't people signing up? Why aren't people coming to the event? Why aren't I booking those $3,000 and $5,000 speaking engagements? And so I will never forget, I had this, there's a therapist that's in my community. Her name is Mercedes. And she sent me a message and she was like, Dr. Lewis, like I did the things that you taught me and I was offered a $2,500 speaking engagement. And I was able to negotiate, book sold, and a $4,000 speaking engagement. And it's because she is doing the steps of learning the process. And so that's what I would say to therapists out there. If you are like, okay, I want to get started and I want to make sure I do this right, then those are some things I'd say definitely be mindful of.
I think that's great. I mean, I think there's so many questions that I want to ask you. I'm like, okay, I just probably need to get signed up for this course because it's like pitching from the stage and like the taboos with that. And then also the good part, selling from the back of the room, whether it's books or programs. I remember there was a post that you had around, like, you had gone down, I think this was you, that you went down and you were like in the government, you know, conference trying to figure out who you were going to pitch to be speaking to as a government contractor. I was like, oh my gosh, there is so much work that goes into being a speaker, because you have to, like, you have to have the background, you know, you have to have the stuff to, because speaking just to speak can be lucrative, but you got to be a really damn good speaker. And so mm-hmm. then there's also the books and there's the programs and there's the consulting and there's the whatever. And so it's like, there's so much to create to have a speaking career really be a career and not just, you know, whether it's a marketing strategy or something that you do for fun. Like there's a lot that goes into it. So mm-hmm. tell us how people can find where you teach people to do all this stuff.
So you can connect with me at couchtopodium.com. I currently have a Couch to Podium course where I teach therapists how to go from the couch to the stage and book paid speaking engagements. I also have the Mental Health Speakers group on Facebook, so you can find me there. It's about 2,000 therapists that are already in there. And so definitely I would love to connect with you guys. And then also I have a free gift. So for those of you nice. Who are like, I need to get started. I don't know what to do to get started. I'm feeling like there's so many things I need to do and I don't know where to go next. Then definitely check out my free training and I will send you guys the link for that, but it basically tells you all of the steps for getting started speaking and getting paid.
And we'll include a link to that and all of Dr. Lewis's social media handles in our show notes. You can find those at mtsgpodcast.com. And Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks, Dr. Lewis. You're amazing.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And please join our Facebook group, the Modern Therapist Group. You'll find out about our future conferences and whatever else by being a part of that. And follow us on our social media stuff. Until next time, I'm Kurt Whithelm with Katie Vernoy and Dr. Laura Lewis.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. Learn more about who we are and what we do at mtsgpodcast.com. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes.
Don't forget, we have some special offers from our partner, Simplified SEO Consulting. Get 20% off a DIY SEO course with the code MODERNTHERAPIST or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off of your onboarding to the Done For You SEO program. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist.
Remember to check out Thrizer. They are passionate about making out-of-network therapy work for everyone. Clients save upfront on therapy while therapists earn their full rate. Get started in minutes on join.thrizer.com/modern therapist and use the promo code Modern Therapists and receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.